In 2009, Ashley Snyder quit her job working on cruise ships to run across the United States, and we'll find out why in just a bit. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm filling in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show. We'll talk with Ashley, who is the author of the new book, The Long Run Home, A Daughter's Run Across America to Fight MS. And also with us is Dr. Jacob Sosnoff. He is Associate Dean of Research in the School of Health Professions at the University of Kansas. His research focuses on how older adults with MS are affected by mobility impairment. Do you or a loved one have multiple sclerosis? Has new research helped you? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ashley, Dr. Sosnoff, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, and Dr. Sosnoff, is that right? Did I say that right?
You got it right. I'm really happy to be here. Ashley, it's always good to join you.
Hi, thanks for being here. It's excited to hear your voice.
So you guys, are you a tag team for MS?
I would say we each have our different roles, but we work in tandem together for, you know, helping people live better with MS.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start at the beginning. Why did you decide you had this really fun sounding job on cruise ships going all over the world, and then you just decided to stop and run across America?
I did do that. I was 24. Now, what you said is let's start at the beginning. So my beginning is growing up watching my mom lose her abilities because of multiple sclerosis. And so she was diagnosed with the disease before I was born. As a family, I think my parents did a really great job trying to keep everything as normal as possible, but the disease can take away mobility and function. It doesn't mean it's going to, and I hope that's something that we're going to talk about, is the wide variety of what can happen when someone's diagnosed. But with my mom specifically, she did lose some of her mobility, her cognitive function, fine motor skills, and it really started to decrease when I was about 14 years old. So as a young teenager, I saw my mom, you know, not be able to ride her bike anymore, not be able to water ski. And at the same time, I had this kind of natural love of fitness and athletics. I was drawn to eating well and ended up going to school for exercise and sports science. So that for me is really a big part of the story, because it's not like at 24, I just on a whim was like, oh, I will run across America.
Right.
I hadn't run a marathon yet, but I had been a runner. I loved running. As I said, I loved fitness, and I'd witnessed my mom lose a lot of her abilities, and MS broke my heart. So those two things came together when I was 24, working on a cruise ship. I absolutely loved that job. It was so fun getting paid to travel around the world as a rock climbing and surf instructor. I had no plans of doing anything different, and I had an epiphany during a 3-mile run in Barcelona to quit my job and try and run across America.
And most people would say, oh my God, I'm never going to do that, and just forget about it. That was silly. But you didn't. What is it in you that causes you to just continue with that goal in mind? Does it come from being in sports?
It's all in the book. So, you know, read the book.
I did. Don't worry.
I had to put the plug in there. But I really feel that my mom was diagnosed around the age of 30. And so for me, watching her lose her abilities, I understood at a young age that health is not guaranteed. And it, for whatever reason, it affected me in a very specific way. And then the other thing too is MS broke my heart. When I think about it, I hate the disease. And I really hated what it took from my mom. And I hated the way that it changed what we could do together. And I call it a holy rage. And that really is what, when I got the idea to run across America, it felt like everything had happened in my life had led to that idea. And it was just waiting for me to come upon it. And so it felt like what I was supposed to do. And because of my mom's life with MS, I thought, I'm not going to wait on this. I'm going to go do it now. I'm not going to wait for the economy or better circumstances or whatever it might be. I'm going to go do this now.
No excuses.
No excuses.
I love it. Dr. Sosnoff, what brought you to study MS in the research area?
So excellent question. I started off my career as a theoretical motor control, so how the brain controls movement. And fairly early on in my career, I realized that it was my advisor and my mother were the only people that were reading my research. And I wanted to have a much bigger impact. You know, my goal is to make the world a better place, and the theoretical work wasn't cutting it. I had an opportunity through a collaborator to do some research with individuals with MS, and my eyes were open that I can actually help people. And so at that point on, the early or mid 2000s, I started working on problems that actually help people and individuals with MS. As Ashley said, it can be a debilitating disease. And when I started, there wasn't that much work on how we make people move better. And that's really what I'm trying to do. I'm going to juxtapose Ashley. I love helping people with MS. So it's not, you know, and I'm sure she does too. I don't hate MS, but it gives us opportunity to look at different ways to help people move better and safer.
Sure. Now, when Ashley's mom was diagnosed, that was in the 80s, was it? That was a diagnosis you did not hear very often. But now it seems like, I mean, just in the last 2 or 3 years, I know personally 3 people that have been diagnosed with it. So is that something that has been changing too, doctor, with better diagnosis for this ailment?
Yeah, so we've come a tremendous way from the 80s when Ashley's mother was diagnosed. We have much better and earlier identification or detection of multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis used to be much more of it was essentially a diagnosis of everything else got excluded, and then you ended up with MS. There's now biomarkers they can use. There's much greater improvements in neuroimaging, MRI, that they can use to look for tumor lesions. So we're in a much better place. And because we're able to detect the disease earlier, we're also able to intervene earlier and have better outcomes. And also added all in there is the disease modifying therapies. The medications that people take are much, much more efficient and effective than they were back in the 80s. So we're doing incredibly well from a medical research and medical standpoint.
That's wonderful news to hear. Ashley, did your mom, was she able to benefit from some of these things later on in her life? Now, she did pass away a few years back, but was she able to benefit before that?
So she died 8 years ago, and I feel like she was at the early stages of, she was a part of an MS community in the Milwaukee area. And these are all individuals living with MS getting together. They're exercising. They're kind of razzing each other and trying to get each other to go farther as long as they can, which is something that you have to be conscious of when you have MS. So the short answer is no, because she passed 8 years ago, and she was she's kind of at the early end of, or the beginning of what I think now is kind of, and Dr. Sosnoff, I'm very interested in your take on this, but I think there is a now kind of revolution towards people living with MS and encouragement to exercise and encouragement to stay active, to change your diet, to decrease inflammation, and that can improve your quality of life. And we're now, because of research towards things like what Dr. Sosnoff is doing, we have the evidence to root that in research-based findings. So it wasn't researched as much, I'm going to say, in the last, you know, 20 to 30 years, but it's definitely gaining some traction.
Is that how you've seen it too, yeah. Dr. Sosnoff?
Yeah, actually it is right on. It used to be, for various reasons, the recommendations from medical providers would be not to exercise, because fatigue is such a big issue with individuals with multiple sclerosis and some other symptoms. They said don't exercise. They were afraid it was making people worse. So you would have people that had this, you know, a neurological disease that were essentially becoming sedentary. And we now know being sedentary is perhaps one of the worst things you can do. You know, there's all this data out there in MS and non-MS populations, but, you know, sedentary is a new smoking. It's horrible for us to just sit all day long. And, you know, so various researchers have been pushing this idea that physical activity, getting out there, doing things, is much more important than avoiding some of those symptoms. Still need to manage fatigue and some of the exhaustion issues, but it's something that we can manage, and exercise is perhaps one of the best things you can do from a lifestyle behavior standpoint. for individuals with multiple sclerosis.
Well, that falls right into what you believe in. So let's talk about this book. You did this run, it probably seems like ages ago. Why now did you decide to put it all down in a book?
Well, the book took me 8 years to publish. So for 4 years. Mm-hmm. During that time, I also was raising my three kids, which are now 10, 8, and 6. I was also building my nonprofit, MS Run the US, which is now in a very cool transition phase where it's got exponential growth happening. And so I wrote for 4 years, and that time was really spent telling my story, writing it, and then learning how to storytell for a book. And I had someone, I had a mentor that I worked with that taught me the difference between telling and showing. And you don't have to start every chapter at the beginning. It doesn't have to be chronological. So if you take my book that I have now and you compare it to the very first manuscript that I wrote, it's like looking, my first manuscript was like a journal. It was a lot of feelings. Mm-hmm. This happened. This is how I felt about it. And then the evolution that you now have in your hands is, you know, 8 drafts later and a lot of hard work in terms of getting the actual story that people are going to want to read out into a book. And so there was a lot of writing, and then there was about 2 years of pitching to literary agents and publishers. And then there was about 2 years of just praying and saying, hey, you know, if this is supposed to get published, it's now, I have a strong faith. So I was like, that is, it's now in your hands, open the door. So the door opened for publishing a little over a year ago. And
here it is.
And here it is.
Yesterday was the published day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how does it feel to finally get your baby out there?
Nothing will really prepare you for it until it is actually happening, because for 8 years, I've been working on this. And so I want people to read it.
Of course.
and then for people to actually be reading it and sending me messages about it and sending me pictures of it being delivered and people reading it cover to cover in a day or two and saying they couldn't put it down. It's really real.
Yeah, it really, and it's a very good book. And I do have to say that we didn't get a copy till really late. So I had the PDF and I was kind of putting it off because I don't particularly like to read that. So I basically started it like this weekend. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just skim it. But I started reading it and I really liked it. And I finished it last night. So it was late. But it was really intriguing because you go on this journey mentally and physically with you. So tell us about what you did. Okay, we said you ran across America. Oh, that sounds pretty simple. But what did you actually do?
I quit my job on that cruise ship pretty quickly after the idea dropped into my mind. And I moved home from the Caribbean to Wisconsin in January. So that right there, you know, I was committed.
Yeah.
I was absolutely not waiting for the spring or anything. So I get home and there was 17 months of training. And that was a lot of running, a lot of talking about running across America. I had not run a marathon yet, so pretty quickly when I got home, once spring hit, I decided to run an impromptu marathon from my parents' front door. And really, what I wanted to do in the book and in taking people on the journey is I wanted to drop them into Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, where I started, as quickly as possible, but then also sprinkle in how I did it. You know, I have my degree in exercise and sports science, an emphasis in fitness. And so I know how the body works. And I used a lot of my education to tailor my run across the country. I took the first third of my run, which in my mind was California to the Rocky Mountains, was my last phase of training. So my goal was to run 20, 30 miles a day, 6 days a week for 6 months. And so for that last phase of training, I was going to keep it a little bit lower. I was going to run 15 to 17 miles every day until I got to the Rocky Mountains. And then I was going to start hitting the marathons and layer on more miles after that. I did do that and it worked out really well. The other thing that I did is I put on weight prior to starting. So I started the run about 8 pounds heavier than what I normally would be, which was quite the accomplishment, training so much and having to gain weight. I ate a lot of food. I will tell you, running across America is a great way to eat whatever you want and not gain weight. I ate so much food. And that was part of my plan too, was just eat a lot of food and listen to my body's cravings. I took naps and slept. But then one of the things I wanted to portray in the book too was how quickly I founded a nonprofit. That was not my plan when I quit my cruise ship job. I really just wanted to run across America and raise $500,000 for MS, very simply, just those two challenges.
It. Nothing big.
Right. It wasn't on my radar to start a charity. So I ended up doing that to have the 501c3 status to have sponsors and donors have that tax exemptioned. And so running across the country was the running. It was the keeping my body in good shape to do it. And then it was also, I started this charity and coming up with a brand and doing interviews like this on the side of the road while semis are going by so that I could do the promotion. And raising $500,000 is no small feat. So was social media, blogging, emails, trying to connect with different businesses. I just truly believed that someone or lots of people were going to hear my story and be really inspired to support.
Absolutely. So, Doctor, how important are these organizations like Ashley's to your research? I think everybody thinks, well, up to the last year or so, that, you know, there's all this federal money out there and all of it's going to you all and it's going to be wonderful. But that's not the case, is it?
No. So let me answer this in two parts. So let's answer prior to the changes in Washington. So the National Institute of Health, we'll say is, but maybe was is a better answer, but is the largest funder of biomedical research in the world. So it's a wonderful organization, funds a tremendous amount. But that said, there are diseases that don't fit very well in the structure of how NIH funds. So, you know, there is the National Institute of Neurological Disorders, where you would think MS research fits in very well. They tend to focus very heavily on stroke, which is wonderful. They focus on other ailments, but MS isn't always the top funding, right? So organizations like Ashley's allow us to focus on multiple sclerosis. And you need to have, if you want to do research, especially I'll say rehabilitation, looking at physical activity and lifestyle modification, that type of research, if you want to focus that on a population, a disease, you're going to need these private organizations, these nonprofits that allow you to get that money, because you need to show that you can do that type of research prior to going for the federal government. You have to show that you can do the work. So you need that, what we call a pilot. So it's like almost like angel investing in these small researchers to show that they can produce the research. Currently, with the current status of the NIH, it's not clear what they're going to fund when eventually the government opens up, and that's a whole other issue. Multiple sclerosis, although it's about 1 in 1,000 people. So it's not as common as we think for some of these other diagnoses. So it becomes less of a focal point of these major funders. And then there were agencies like the Department of Defense. There was some money set aside for MS research. And the last continuing resolution, for some reason, MS research fell out. So these pockets of federal money that were the limited federal money that was focused on MS research has essentially disappeared. And we're not sure when it's going to come back. So the nonprofits like MS Run the US at this point are essential to continue multiple sclerosis research.
Now, Ashley, you had that wonderful $500,000 goal, which I'm sure you just picked out of the air because it sounded good, right? You didn't quite make it that first run. But since then, how much money has your organization raised for MS?
We have raised $4 million, over $4 million for MS.
Yeah. And this has been how many years now?
We're going into our 16th year.
So you've got to be thrilled that this was your baby and, you know, you did it. So how does that feel when you achieve maybe that $500,000 goal first?
It feels great. It feels great to have this impact. I couldn't have done it alone, which is a key part of my story. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is for a good 5 to 8 years in the very beginning of what MS Run the US is today, I was so hard in just putting the relay team together and making it an exceptional experience and working with, you know, a low budget CPA. And, you know, so I knew the money was coming in and we were giving it to these different areas. And, but I'll be honest with you, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to exactly how much money we were raising in totality until, I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, my communication director was like, hey, let's put our total on the website. So I went back to our new accountant and I was like, hey, what's the total at? And I think it was nearing, I think it was 2.7. And I was like, what? I was so in the work that I didn't realize how much it had accumulated to. Plus, again, I was raising 3 children. And so everything was very busy until I got to that point and I realized, wow. So the teams have made such an impact. I'm so proud of the Relay and what it is today. I say this in the book. It was, I don't want to say it was easy for me to run across America, but it was very like me. Mm-hmm. I was extremely independent. I'm an athlete. I love doing the harmless suffering. Give me a pair of shoes and 5 hours alone and I will run down the road. And I am happy to do that. And so it wasn't as hard as building what MS Run the US is today, to convince other people that they can do this and that they should, and fundraise as much as the runners do, in addition to what we're asking them to run. So just to give a quick brief overview of what MS Run the US Relay is today, it's 21 runners who get to do for 1 week what I did for 6 months. So one runner does a marathon a day for 6 consecutive days, running about 160 miles in the week, and they fundraise $10,000 to be on the team. And the very first relay team crossed the country in 2013. Pulling that team together, people thought I was crazy. I mean, they already knew I was kind of crazy.
I was going to say, not for the first time, right?
But they were like, I heard a lot. It's going to be really hard to get other people to raise $10,000. That's a lot of money. But for me, I was like, I'm not going to do it for any less, because I volunteered for years to build the organization. I took that first relay team across the country in a motorhome. I slept on the couch. They got a bed and we just were bootstrapping it. And so I thought, I'm not going to sleep on a couch for 6 months for less than $10,000 a person. You know, so that's how I kind of came up with these numbers. And to know now that we have raised over $4 million, we have had hundreds of athletes participate in our run across the country. We are expanding now into what's called team endurance. We'll be racing at different races across the country and our I Run to Stop MS jerseys. To know that people in the running and the MS community want this and they have been fueling it from the start, it feels remarkable.
That's wonderful. And just before we break for news, Dr. Sosnoff, why don't you, we haven't really actually said, we hear MS, we hear multiple sclerosis, but what does that actually mean when someone is diagnosed with that disease?
So MS is, I got to make sure I get all my adjectives right here.
Okay.
It's a progressive neurodegenerative disease. The exact cause, we don't really know. For some reason, in some people, the immune system starts to attack myelin, which is the insulation of the nerves. And this leads to damage, it leads to cell death, and there's neural degeneration in the nervous system. And the part of the difficulty with MS is different parts of the nervous system are impacted in different people. So depending on where, when we say the lesion or where the damage is, that's going to result in different symptoms. So if you have, damage, let's say in the front part of the brain, the frontal cortex, you're going to have issues with cognition. If you have damage in the spinal cord, you're going to have more problems with movement. So that's what makes the symptoms vary from people to people or individual to individual. Unlike a lot of diseases where we can say there are cardinal signs, like Parkinson's disease, there are well-known signs that everyone with Parkinson's disease will have, MS is much more varied. And that's part of the reasons that makes it difficult to diagnose. And the other difficulty is we don't really know what's causing it. We think it's a combination of genetic, environmental stressors. There's some evidence that some viruses, if earlier in life get viruses, you're more susceptible to get MS. There's a real unique part of it. The further you live away from the equator, the higher your likelihood of getting multiple sclerosis is. So, you know, living in Wisconsin, you have a higher rate or a higher risk of multiple sclerosis or multiple sclerosis.
See, I'm glad to say I'm not the only person who has that problem.
It's not you guys. So, you know, there's some unique aspects of MS. And because we don't have a really good understanding of the cause, it's harder for us to treat, although we're getting much, much better.
Okay. Well, we will be back after the news to talk with Ashley and Dr. Sosnoff a little bit more. If you've got any questions, 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear your get your input on this. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry today, and we're talking about MS. Our guests are Ashley Schneider, founder and president of the Milwaukee-based nonprofit MS Run for the U.S. She's the author of a new memoir, and it's titled The Long Run Home, A Daughter's Run Across America to Fight MS. And also with us is Dr. Jacob Sosnoff. He's Associate Dean of Research in the School of Health Professions at the University of Kansas. He specializes in how older adults with MS are affected by mobility impairment. And if you would like to join the conversation, you can by calling 800-642-1234. And of course, you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. And before we go back to our two guests, we've got a listener on the line, Jeannie in Minocqua. What can we help you with today?
Hi. I hear that your speaker, the doctor, is looking into MS problems or mobility problems in older adults with MS. And I'm one of those older adults with MS diagnosed also in the early 80s. Back at that time, when I was first diagnosed, I was actually locked in, totally paralyzed. It was pretty severe, but I recovered, and I was totally functional for decades, and I was a runner and basically a bodybuilder and trained in physical therapy, but now with secondary progressive MS, the mobility problems have caught up with me big time, and I just wanted his comments on that.
Okay, thank you for sharing with that, Jeannie. Doctor, have you heard that story before with it coming in stages?
Yeah, so, you know, we're still trying to piece this all together when it comes to multiple sclerosis, but there's different phases and different what we call subtypes of multiple sclerosis. And essentially what happens as you live with the disease for long enough, you start to get this intersection of what we think of as aging, the normal aging process that interacts with the neurological degeneration. And somewhere along the line that happens, and sometimes they'll talk about secondary progressive MS, where there's a progression in disability. We're still learning quite a bit about it. And just to clarify for all the listeners out there, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not an MD. As my father likes to say, I'm not a real doctor. I'm a PhD. I'm a researcher. Yeah, thanks, Dad. So I'm a researcher. So, you know, MS is going, for most individuals living with MS, MS is going to progress. Disability is going to accumulate. And you've probably already done a tremendously good job at delaying that progression and the rate of progression, being as physically active as you are. You know, obviously, over the radio, it's really hard to give any advice, so I'm going to not do it. But, you know, I think I would suggest, you said you have a physical therapy background, I would talk to a physical therapy or rehabilitation specialist and your neurologist, and they can plot out the best way to manage your symptoms moving forward.
Okay, thank you again, Jeannie. Margarita in Wisconsin Rapids, we'll go to you next. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I would like to know, when are you going to invite Dr. Terry Walls? Dr. Terry Walls had MS. She reversed her MS, and her books are for free at the library. People can refer to her, and her protocol has been approved by the FDA.
Okay, well, thank you, Margarita. And Ashley, you said you are familiar with
Yes, her. Mm-hmm. MS Run US, Dr. Walls is our second researcher that we support. So we support two researchers, Dr. Sosnoff, Dr. Terry Walls at the University of Iowa. Mm-hmm. What Margarita said is absolutely true. Look up her Walls protocol. It gives you nutrition and lifestyle mm-hmm. modifications that you can take, that you can implement to decrease your symptoms and improve your quality of life.
Okay, well, great. Thank you, Margarita, for bringing that up. So let's talk a little bit about your organization, Ashley, and where you are right now and where you are hoping to go with it.
I love this question because we are at this specific phase where, again, the MS and running community has really swelled around this idea to run across the country. For the last 13 years we've run across America in this coast-to-coast relay event for awareness and fundraising, and it really has been the majority of our offering. And we're now in a phase where recently this year, March 2025, I hired our first successive executive director, Christian Jensen from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and he's helping the organization go into our next phase. So I am in the founder, president, spokesperson role. He's helping build new programs with our team. Team Endurance, which is our racing team. We have local MS run clubs across the country that we're going to be implementing so that people that run and are connected to the cause can have an in-person community to run and be connected with. My mom was a part of an MS gym. My lifelong dream is to create MS fitness centers across the country where people living with MS can get exercise, nutrition, lifestyle, classes, modifications, suggestions in a group setting. There are gyms like this across the country, and they do very, very well for those communities that they, there's one here in Wisconsin called MS Just Keep Moving out of Waukesha. They do very well. It's my dream to create that opportunity for people across the country living with MS to have a group and professionals that can help them connect and stay active.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wonderful idea. Dr. Sosnoff, can you tell us, are we any closer to finding out what causes this? What is the research saying right now about, I know you say the cure, but what about do treatments, things like that? Where are we right now?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. So I'm trying to think. Sorry.
We'll let you think.
The radio is not good, but I'll do my best. So I think we're getting much, much closer to understanding what are the contributing factors. So it's very possible that there's not a single cause, but rather multiple causes for different people. So one area that we're getting really good at we're getting better and better is this notion of precision medicine, so that we can develop treatments for the individual. Because multiple sclerosis is so varied for every individual, one treatment probably isn't the best. So it's coming up, how do we predict what's the best treatment for that based on your symptoms? So that precision medicine, and if we talk about rehabilitation, it's precision rehabilitation, understanding how to do that. So we're getting into, you know, the AI is a big idea, the big data. We're getting better and better at how to predict how to treat people with rehab because of AI. So I think that's coming into it. There's really interesting and, you know, again, we're at the cutting edge, and I keep saying that, but we're at the cutting edge of new development treatments. There's some interesting things with CAR-T gene therapy type approaches, changing the immune system and how the immune system based on your own immune system. It's a little science fiction-y, but we're getting really close, I think, to some really interesting effective treatments, but we still have a ways to go.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful news. And I'd love to have you both back again in a while to check in to see how, you know, both things are going. So Ashley, Dr. Sosnoff, thank you so much. And I think you're a real doctor, so you can tell your dad.
All right, I'll tell my dad.
Thank you both for being here. Ashley is the founder and president of MS Run the U.S. Inc., a nonprofit inspired by her 3,288-mile run across America to raise money for multiple sclerosis. And she is the author of the new book, The Long Run Home, A Daughter's Run Across America to Fight MS. I really recommend it. It's a good read. It's a fast read. And Dr. Jacob Sosnoff is the Associate Dean of Research in the School of Health Professions at the University of Kansas. Thank you again for both being with us, and we'll be right back to talk about menopause.